Leah, if you don't mind, I'd like to go over a couple of the things that you had said. You mentioned that you and your mother in particular went to downtown with gloves and a hat by streetcar, and you would have lunch in the tea room at Horn's. What floor was that on in Horn's?
It was on the ground floor, on the first floor, and Horn's was located at which it was until its demise at Stanwyck's and Liberty Avenues.
And also, you mentioned Dimling's and Reamer's. Do you recall where either of those were?
Reamer's, I think, was also on Liberty Avenue. Dimling's, I don't quite remember where that was. I'm not sure if that was someplace near Gimbel's or not. I just don't recall.
It was Reamer's just a restaurant, or?
Yeah, no, it sold candy. They sold candy, and they had a, it was like a tea room, too. You could have very nice sandwiches and drinks there. Soft drinks, of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, earlier you had mentioned some different aspects of your family arriving in Pittsburgh, in the United States, really. And actually, I was writing so fast that I lost track. So, if you don't mind, you mentioned that your mother came to Pittsburgh at age 16 from Austria, Poland. Your father followed her a year later. You also mentioned that your grandfather came to Pittsburgh. Is this your maternal grandfather or your paternal grandfather?
My maternal grandmother, a grandfather, came to this country first with his oldest son, Harry. They came here because his sister was already here, and he settled here for about 2 or 3 years and then sent for his family. And of course, that's when my mother came with her brother and sisters and her mother to Pittsburgh. And it was a year later or so that my father came.
I see. Now I understand that.
Fine.
And let's see if there was another aspect of it. You said that Zegerson is your mother's maiden name?
Yes. No, Weiner. Weiner.
Oh, Weiner?
Right. It was my maternal grandmother and grandfather are Ida and Samuel Weiner. My grandmother's maiden name was Zegerson.
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay.
Got it. Grandma's
good.
Name.
Right.
And also, you said that there was, I believe, an uncle. And he lived also right near you in the south side, or north side, I'm sorry. Was his name Samuel Weiner?
No, Samuel Weiner is my grandfather.
Right. And who?
I had an uncle, Lou Michaels, Rose and Lou Michaels, that lived on the north side.
You said you spent time above someone's store. Was that
my grandfather?
Oh, that was your grandfather.
Yeah, they had an apartment above the store, and I think I said it was like my second home, which it really was.
Well, since you mentioned Lou and Rose Michaels, how are they related to you? They were an
Rose,
uncle, but
yeah, Rose and Rose Michaels and my mother, Sarah Raisman, were sisters.
Okay. Well, I think that just about clears it up. That's the only other question that I believe I wanted to ask you. So, Cindy?
It sounded like your younger years in the Hill District were in a very vibrant community, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the community recreational facilities and activities and what kinds of things, how you spent your time in the community.
Well, most of the time in bed. I was sick. But when I was well, at Madison, they had a library, and my mother and my brother often went to that library to get books for me. When I was a bit healthier, I was able to go to the Carnegie Library in Oakland because there was a way through the hill to walk down a lot of steps and you could walk into Oakland and you could go to the library, and I used to love to do that. That was really interesting. Then there was a ball field. I'm not quite sure how far it was from me, but it wasn't that far that I couldn't go, and they had a playground and they had summer activities for the children, crafts, playing ball, just some very nice things to do of an afternoon or a morning. And I think that was about most of it. Then there was the Irene Kaufman Settlement on 7th Center Avenue. And the Irene Kaufman Settlement was really a hub for the Jewish children. And when I went to the University of Pittsburgh, I became a counselor there for a group of girls. And I enjoyed it very much. And I also helped in the music room under a Mrs. Perlow, who ran the music department there. And she found out that I was going to be an accountant, so she said I could be her secretary. And I could help, you know, with the number of students who came in to take lessons and keep count of everything. And so that's what I did for her while I was going to get.
Were you paid? Were you paid?
Oh, no, no. This was all volunteer. She was very good to me, though, because she, you know, often would take me to lunch or to dinner or something of that kind. But no, no, I wasn't paid. I wasn't paid for any of these activities.
Were you involved in any youth groups as you were growing up?
I don't think so. I don't think so, no. I don't think it was youth group. You went and there was a group of kids and you played with them. It wasn't as if it was, you know, with a name or anything. Although when I went to Taylor Alderdice, I did belong to a sorority. Very nice girl invited me to join, and I do think for a number of years we had our little club, you know, and where we were very anxious to meet boys and things of that kind. So we had a little club. So that was the only real club I ever belonged to.
Do you recall the name of that group?
I don't know. We did have a name, I guess. Maybe we didn't. We just met.
Were there any other extracurricular activities you or your brother participated in through school?
I remember my brother was in the men's choir at the University of Pittsburgh. I was in the chorus at the University of Pittsburgh, which was the girls' group. I don't think I was that active at Pitt. For one thing, I worked part of the time that I was going to school. I worked for a company called Rom and Company on Butler Street. They had a wholesale grocery business, and I worked there for a while. So I was busy with other activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't partake of that, although I made many, many good friends, and we lunched. But as I'm telling you, it was all girls, very few boys.
Excuse me, you were talking about kids, and I'm sure that the university has changed somewhat since you were there. And I don't know if this is another question that you're going to ask.
That's a good question.
But how many buildings did Pitt, the University of Pittsburgh, have at that time?
At the time, most of our classes were on the street behind. There were many, many buildings. I don't remember the name of the street, but it's off Bigelow Boulevard going to the left. And there are many small buildings, and there's many of them are still there, and we had many classes there. We had classes at the cathedral up to the fifth floor, and the walls were not cemented yet, bricks. When you walked into the room, they were really all you saw were the bricks and some chairs for you to sit on and a blackboard, and that was it. And they had a library on the sixth floor, and they had a library on the seventh floor. But there were no classes any higher than that, although the Dean of Women, I think, had some kind of an office on the 12th floor, because we would go up there once in a while. It was bare. She had the whole floor as her office. And we had some nationality rooms, however. There were three or four, maybe more, nationality rooms at that point. And, of course, the Commons Room was completed. And that was what the university was. They didn't have any of the other buildings that you see now off of Big World Boulevard, or Gilman Library, or any of those other buildings were not in existence then.
You said there were the National Rooms and what other rooms?
The Commons Room. Yeah, the Commons Room was completed.
So were the other floors not completed?
No. They were classrooms, but they weren't completed.
No tuck shop?
There was a tuck shop, yes. There
basement?
Was a tuck shop in the basement, yes. And there was a, and there were, I remember a room where you could buy books downstairs in the basement. That was it.
I wonder how they ever got the name of tuck shop.
I have no idea.
Oh,
maybe because it was tucked away someplace.
Is that a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a restaurant.
It was
a cafeteria. And everyone would meet there.
Yeah.
What is now the student union for the University of Pittsburgh? Was that a student union at that time?
Are you talking about Schenley Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
No. Schenley Hotel was in existence long after I left the University of Pittsburgh.
As a hotel? Was it
as
an actual
a hotel,
hotel?
As a hotel. Schenley Hotel was a hotel for many, many years after I left.
Did they use it for dances?
Mostly they use the William Penn Hotel. They used it for their military balls. They used it for their senior balls and dances. Now, again, you see, I have to tell you, it was during the war. And the reason I know this is because I went through it. I was a junior and a senior in high school more than I did when I was going to college, because they just didn't have those dances anymore for the 4 years that I was there.
That's true.
Yes, isn't it
that?
Mm-hmm.
You said a lot of the buildings were to the west off of Big World Boulevard.
Yeah.
And Parkman?
No, if you go up Big World Boulevard, past the University of Pittsburgh on the right, the next street is Bayard, I believe.
Correct.
Okay. You make a left.
Oh, left.
And you wind up and around.
Center Avenue?
And there are buildings there.
You were the Concordia?
Oh no, you're going down. You're going much further down. I'm talking about right off of Biglow Boulevard. There's
up to the
stadium.
Going up
right. There's
the stadium.
A street that winds around. And there were buildings there, maybe some, I think some of them are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we had a lot of our classes. Now, when my husband went to the University of Pittsburgh, and he graduated in 1937, there was a cathedral. But he had no classes, as I can recall, in that building at all. Because even the classrooms weren't ready, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All of his classes were elsewhere.
So the university has shifted now that it's more on Fifth and Fourth.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Bouquet.
Right, and they have many, many new buildings.
Okay. We'd like to know about your courtship and marriage. How did you meet your husband?
I belonged to Junior Hadassah, which was a gift from my Aunt Rose. And I went to a convention in Cleveland. I guess I was about 18 years old then. And a very nice woman came in and wanted to know who was from Pittsburgh, and I raised my hand, and she said that there was a young man who was going to be discharged from the Army who lived in Pittsburgh. and his name was Carl Slomberg. And she said, "I think you're too young. However, is there anybody here who's a little bit older?" And my girlfriend, who was a little bit older, called him when we came home, but he didn't take her out. She was a little bit put out about that. Then a little while later, through someone else, I did meet Carl. And it just took right away. And he waited for me until I graduated from college. That's why we got married 20 days later. And we have been married now for over 53 years. We have three children. Stanley, who is 51, Martin, who is 46, and our daughter Marilyn, who is about to be 42.
Could you tell us a little bit about Carl's background and his education, when he was born?
Mm-hmm. Did you spell Carl with a C or
a C? With a C. Carl was born on the Hill when he was 3 years old. He's an only child. When he was 3 years old, his family moved to McKees Rocks. His father opened a store there on the advice of his brother-in-law, who already had a store there. And he went into the wall covering business and began to do quite well. Carl went to school in McKees Rocks, elementary, junior high, senior high, and on to the University of Pittsburgh, where, as I said, he graduated in 1937. And he also graduated as an accountant, and he wanted to take a job. And his father said, "You can do better in the store." So he went into the store with his dad. We have pictures of the day he went into the store with his dad, and father was just so proud to have him. And Carl continued to work in the store trying to expand the business. And then, of course, he had to go into the Army, and he did. And was discharged, as I explained. And then we were married, and he continued in that store until he retired, and our son Stanley was in the store.
Did you say the name of the store? Did I?
Chargers Wallpaper Company.
Where was that located?
At 510 Chargers Avenue.
Is that where it's still located?
No, unfortunately, they had a fire, so they had to move. So he's a little bit further up the street, but that's where the original store was.
And which one of your sons?
Stanley, the oldest. Mm-hmm.
And he owns the store?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about your husband's military experience?
He was in finance the entire time that he was in the Army. I don't remember where he did his basic training, but he ended up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that's where he was until he was discharged.
As you were raising your children, where did you live?
5455 Fair Oak Street. I guess it's between Squirrel Hill and Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Murdoch Farms, I think, that area.
When did you move there?
We moved there when Stanley was 6 years old, so, and he's 51, so.
Figure out the math.
Yeah, 19.
Where did you and Carl live prior to moving to Canada?
Well, you know, when we got married, it was very difficult to find a place to live. We sublet a place in Mount Lebanon as soon as we were married. Well, before we were married, we sublet it so that we would have a place to go once we were married. We lived there for a short time, and then we had to give it up. And then we went to live with my mother and dad on Beechwood Boulevard. But my brother was coming home from the Army with his wife and son, and so we went to live in McKees Rocks with my mother and father-in-law. We lived there for quite a while. Then we moved to an apartment on Craig Street, and then we moved into our home.
Did your husband's family have a similar kind of affiliation with synagogue and Jewish community life as your family did?
Not my father-in-law. He's American-born. He was American-born. And my mother-in-law, who came from Romania, she was Orthodox and was very active in the synagogue in the Keys Rocks. And Carl became a part of that with his mother. But his father, he went on the holidays to please his wife, but that was about as far as it went with him. But then he was a very ethical man. So he kept saying that so many of the people who were so Orthodox were really not as ethical as he, and he was probably right.
Do you know the name of the synagogue that was in Keys Rocks?
It'll come to me. Okay. I can't remember it right now.
You've told us your children's names. Could you tell us if they have partners, what their partners' names are, and if they have children, what their children's names are, and where they live?
Mm-hmm. Stanley is married to Pat. They have no children. They have a condominium on North Highland Avenue. As I told you, he is in the business. Martin is married to Adrian. They have one daughter, Jessica. They live in Mount Lebanon. Martin is a principal of a school. Our daughter, Marilyn, is married to Brad Hirsch, H-E-R-S-C-H, and they have two children, Max and Stephen, and they live on Saline Street.
How old are Martin's children and Marilyn's children?
Martin's daughter is 8 years old. Marilyn's children, Max is 15 and a half, and Stephen will tell you that he's 7 and a half.
As your children were growing up, what was Jewish life like in your household?
We joined the Tree of Life because it was close. Living on Fair Oak Street, the children went to Whiteman School, and then from Whiteman the boys could go right over to Hebrew School at Tree of Life. My two boys were bar mitzvahed there. My three children were confirmed there. Our daughter was married, not there, but she still belonged to Tree of Life. And I kept a kosher home, mostly because of my parents and my mother-in-law until she passed away. And it wasn't until we moved from there into an apartment that I decided that I would not keep kosher any longer. Although I do have to tell you, I have a hard time mixing milk and meat. But I do. But it doesn't come natural to me.
Are there any particular events in your family's religious life that you'd like to tell us about?
Our son Stanley thought he might like to be a rabbi, and he went to Near Israel in Baltimore to study, and I think he enjoyed that very much, but then decided that perhaps that was not for him, and he came home and started to work in the store. He tried a few other things, but he came into the store and he did very well.
What do your other children do? What have they done?
Well,
volunteer-wise, professionally?
Well, Marty, as I said, is a principal of an elementary school, Van Elementary School. I'm very proud of the fact that he is the only white principal on the Hill, and naturally the only Jewish principal on the Hill. And he is very active also in that community.
Van, B-A-N-N,
yeah. And parents like him very much, and it's through them that he remains there. They really like him.
Is he the only Jewish principal on there, or the only white?
Both.
Really?
Both. Generally speaking, where there are black schools, or predominantly black schools, it makes sense to have a black principal. No problem. I have no problem with that. But he took over for a black principal when she was ill, and the parents liked him, and they went to bat for him. And he's been there for a number of years, and every time they try to move him, they go to bat for him, so he has remained there.
And he taught there?
No.
Where did he teach before he became a principal?
He taught in...
On the Hill?
No, he never taught on the Hill. I've forgotten the name of the school. He taught in a predominantly white school. But I think he has a very kind personality. He gets along very well with people and has a lot of heart for kids, and I think this shows in the way he conducts himself.
It sounds like if the parents are going to bat for him, there's something really special that he brings to the class.
I think so. I think he's a disciplinarian, but he's a kind disciplinarian, and I think that makes all the difference in the world.
And they children need to have the discipline.
I think so. I really do.
But as concerned parents, they want to make sure that it's exerted properly.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do your children and their children identify with Judaism in their households?
Marilyn and her husband and children belong to Temple Sinai, and within the last 2 years we have joined Temple Sinai to be, as my daughter says, we want you with us. So our two sons are not married to Jewish girls. Adrian, who is married to Marty, comes to services with us at Temple Sinai, and is not that strict that she doesn't have some pride in the fact that her daughter will learn both about Judaism and her religion. And since Jessica is with me a great deal, naturally she learns a great deal about Judaism through me, and Adrian seems very content with that. We're very lucky. Adrian is a darling, wonderful woman. Stanley has no children, and again, we're very fortunate to have Pat, who is a psychiatric social worker, and who has made a wonderful home for Stanley and is a very, very caring person, very easy to know and to love, and we're a very lucky family. We're a very lucky family. And I have them all here, remember?
Yes, you do. Uh-huh. How fortunate. Mm-hmm. Is there any problem? Does Jessica attend religious school anywhere?
No. What I teach her and what my husband teaches her is about, and her father, is about as far as it has gone so far. What will happen, I don't know. But I'm not at odds with this. I thought I would be, but I'm not at odds with it, because I see them as a very happy, integrated family who are very outgoing, very happy. And that makes me very happy, and my husband very happy, so it's okay.
Do they celebrate any of the Jewish holidays?
All of them, with me.
But with you, in your house?
All of them, with me. And Hanukkah, they light the candles. Pesach, they use matzah. You know, I mean, all of them. And Pat, who is such a wonderful cook, makes far better chopped liver than I do, and knows how to make knadles and all of those things to please Stanley, you know? So it works out. It's worked out very well.
Well, Well, we just about